I remember the first time I saw Vicky Krug's work and I was blown away. These beautiful statues. I actually want to buy one as a gift to myself, kind of a embodiment of all things feminine and how beautiful the body can be. Anyway, I was excited to interview her in this recording and just talk about these vulva castings that she does and her own contribution to women and empowerment and this reclamation of the body. So I welcome you to join us in this journey and take a listen. All right. So welcome, Victoria.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's do a little background on you first. This is Victoria Krug. She is an Austrian artist with a mission to educate us about the vulva anatomy and diversity through vulva castings. Through a special type of body casting, a copy of participants' vulva is made and turned into a beautiful statue. They get to keep that. The statue belongs to the participant, and then their anonymous photo of the statue gets published, and she uses it to help educate others. So I
That's
think that
cool.
is so cool. I don't even know where I came across it. Maybe Instagram, I'm not sure, but I just thought they were beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy you like them. I try to put all my love and my time and good energy into them to make them all, perfect and unique, just how they should be, because there's a person behind it that really cares. And yeah, nice that you like them.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I think actually maybe I found them when I was pulling images for my pleasure circle because I was trying to show that there's diversity in terms of how vulvas look. And when I'm Googling vulva, which is always a little terrifying of what I'm going to get on the internet, I came across, I think, a bigger shot of like multiple statues that you had done. And so I started digging, and that's, I think, how we got connected.
Yeah, it's very likely because the same thing I mean, we're gonna go into this a bit later still, but similar thing happened to me when I was trying to figure out, how diverse vulvas can be. The only thing that I found was sexualized content. So there was only pornography out there, and that has a different aim, It's not, I mean, porn has different goals, but not to educate us. And then when I
Right.
figured that out, I was like, oh my God, how is this possible? We're in 2023. I mean, we fly to the Mars with robots and we can do so many things. How can I not find non-sexualized photos of real vulvas? What is going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably how you ended up finding my stuff, because there is not
Yeah.
that much out there.
Yep. That's which is ridiculous, right? Like, and also I'm trying to pull non-sexualized, good point, right? There's tons of porn. Sometimes I use illustrations, but it's also nice to see more realistic. And so to have that as an option just to show the range of,
Oh,
what they can look
everything.
like, because there is a huge range.
Oh, absolutely.
So the casting happens. We're going to get into that, but first I want to understand a little bit more about how kind of what your journey has been to get here. So tell us what you do and how you landed in this particular
Sure. So,
project.
actually, I had to turn 27 to even come across the topic. I found an artist who does body casting, so full bodies. And that's the first time I realized that not all vulvas look like mine. I mean, I
Oh.
didn't watch porn and I only slept with people who had a penis. So I just didn't know. And I was so shocked because I also told my boyfriend and he was like, yeah, I know, I've seen quite some. And I was like,
Right.
wait, how do you know? And I don't. Shouldn't this be
Yeah.
taught in schools, And then out of that lack of knowledge, I started exploring. And like I said, I couldn't find anything. And then I talked to my friends and I was like, hey, did you know? And yeah, lots of them didn't know. And the ones who did, they couldn't show me resources. So I was like, wow,
Well,
there is
because
a
it's like as
problem.
women, of course, we undress and locker rooms and that type of thing, but you're not looking at someone's vulva. And when there's pubic hair, especially, you can't see the differences in size and color and shape and all of that, right? You're not like focusing on that. So your only point of reference is really yourself, unless,
Yes.
for some reason you have, contact with
Absolutely,
somebody else.
absolutely. And even that, I mean, my partner also said, don't you show this to each other? And I was like, I don't even look at it myself. You know, I don't often grab a mirror and look, you know, I didn't even have a mirror at home back then. So even if I wanted to look, I first had to go out, get a mirror, and then, you know, do the gymnastic poses to somehow look at myself. So, but yeah, out of that whole lack of knowledge and kind of shock that I had, I told my partner, let's do a statue, you know, instead of watching a movie, doing something silly, let's try this. So we did. And, you know, the statue turned out fantastic. I loved it. And of course, you know, like I put it up and then with time, you know, first few days I looked at it, the next week I looked at it, and I started to notice it does change how I see myself and, you know, the thoughts that come to my head and the conversations that happen. Because, yeah, you have this perfect piece of decoration, basically, that is you. So, yeah, I just thought maybe some people are interested in feeling the same things. And I posted it into a local group, and then over 60 people replied. And I was like, wow.
What did I
step here into? So that's really how it started, and I just didn't stop.
So there's definitely an interest, and I've seen, like, you, so you book dates, you go to different markets, and then people sign up for these vulva castings. And so, like, what is that process like when people, I mean, they sign in, they pay their money, and then what happens?
Yes. So they come in, the casting session normally takes an hour to an hour and a half, but most of it is really talking. So basically what we do is we just create a space where we can talk openly about topics related to the vulva. You know, it's not just the anatomy. This is just the fundament of knowledge. You know, this is like the basic, the anatomy. But what's in the whole topic? There's like sexuality, there's identity, there is pregnancy, the menstruation, you know, health, so many topics. And there is not really a space in society where we can talk about these things. They're either, you know, they're so taboo. And I know by now that it's not different in the US than it is here in Europe. So we have this, actually this worldwide problem where no one, you know, creates those safe spaces. So yeah, the vulva casting session is a little bit like that. So we talk about lots of things, how we feel about the vulva, where it a little bit comes from, you know, why we feel like that, what society has as an impact. And I also show them other statues and some resources, so photos of real vulvas. And yeah, at one point when we're comfortable with each other, we start the casting process, which is really quick and easy. So basically the product that I'm using, it's used for the teeth. So it's really skin friendly. It goes into the mouth. It's used by dentists. And yeah, that goes.
Is that what you would use when you get like a teeth mold, like when you're going to get braces or something like that? Oh, okay.
Exactly that. Yeah, so some people know it and they're always like, oh, is it as uncomfortable in the mouth as on the vulva? Like I say, no, the vulva is really great. You will be fine. It's fun. But yeah, that's the same stuff. And yeah, this is what copies everything that's there. And afterwards,
have you, and so they just, of course, they have to be hairless, right, to get.
Unfortunately, yes. Very good point. I love body hair. It's so important to also address that everyone is welcome to leave the hair as they want in the, in, let's say, always. But for the vulva casting session, unfortunately, they have to be removed. So, yeah, but it's a big topic.
Yeah, to get the detail correctly. So then you lay the, is it plaster or?
So the alginate is called alginate, the stuff you get into your mouth, you put that onto the vulva and it hardens, but it's not hard enough to stabilize the whole thing. That's why I put some plaster bandages on top. So if you look at the photos, this is why you see plaster bandages. And that creates a negative, so a copy of you. And that copy afterwards, I turn into a statue by like filling it up with plaster and working on it. So yeah, but that is done after the casting session. So That's more or less how it works.
And while that's happening, what is like the vibe? Like, are women like kind of in, like, is there, I don't know, excitement? Is there embarrassment? Is there like probably a mix of everything?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a mix of everything. And it's really individual. It depends really what the main motivator was, why you want to get a statue, because some people do it to celebrate themselves because they're already at the point where they love how it looks, they love how it works, you know, the pleasure that it brings to them. Others are still along the journey. So they're like, maybe not so sure about it. They're a bit insecure or also embarrassed, you know, because they were taught maybe something is not normal or there's not the it doesn't look like the ideal that is portrayed maybe in porn or in illustrations and so on. But there's also people who had really bad experiences, so that they had bad stuff happen to them, you know, some trauma buried there. So they also bring this different vibe. But all in all,
and so for them, it's more like a reclamation, right? Yeah, like they're reclaiming their body. Yeah, they feel like there's been, right, because the vulva, the whole vaginal region is sometimes a source of pleasure and sometimes a source of pain or humiliation or embarrassment. And so that reclaiming of it and feeling like this is my body and I get to, you know, own it and love it and, you know, celebrate it. Yeah,
absolutely. So. Absolutely. And it's also health topics and, you know, pregnancy. This is people that say the last few years, the only person that really, like the only time I took my vulva out was because someone had to insert an object, you know, like at the gynecologist, or they had to do tests, or it always was like something because of my health. And it's like you say, they want to reclaim it. They want to take it back and say, this is something I do for myself. And it's very powerful and it's very beautiful. And I always say that they can be so proud of themselves, because it does take a little bit of bravery to sit in front of a stranger and share their stories and show their bodies. But yeah, it's beautiful, and I'm very lucky to do this job.
Yeah, it's so interesting that, you know, there's, I find this definitely within my work around the pleasure circle and sex therapy in general, is that there's a curiosity and there's, there's like a playfulness and there's a curiosity about it, but there's also a lot of like hesitation and sometimes fear of anyone else knowing. And meanwhile, it's the same conversation that so many women are having in their heads. Right. So it's like,
I say this all the time. And like, if you ask me for my biggest takeaway out of all of this, then it's really that we have so much in common. We just don't know. Like, we walk around thinking I'm the only one feeling that way, or I'm the only one with these issues, or I'm the only one who can't orgasm or can't feel pleasure. No, it's so many of us. So we have to start talking about it, because, you know, maybe you can learn from each other, or maybe you can help others that they don't, you know, make the same mistakes that you did, or just, you know, we don't even have to talk about our next generation, because of course we want them to, you know, grow up in a society where it's no taboo anymore. But also for us, you know, it's not too late anymore. We talked about it the other day. I mean, the oldest person that came to cast a vulva was 72. And so it's never too late to basically do this for yourself and say, hey, with the knowledge I have today, I don't want to do the things that I did yesterday. I want to change. And today is the day where it changes. And from now onwards, I do things differently. And that's really, really powerful. And
I'm always surprised. I'm so surprised that these, you know, a lot of my participants in Pleasure Circle have been in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s. I've got two women in their 70s. And in this round right now that I'm doing, and I just think it's amazing. Like, they actually, they feel less trepidation talking about the more sensitive things. They've just got sort of a, like, I'm just going to go for it, you know, at this point, like, attitude. And I think that's actually really empowering. And it signals to the other participants, like, this is cool. Like, you know, as women, we get to do this.
Absolutely. No matter what the age is, because this is also a big stigma, you know, like at a certain age, you don't do things anymore. You don't care. Or, you know, like also how we see elderly people in the society, they just don't have sex in our eyes. You know, it's like almost it doesn't matter anymore. No, it always matters. It always matters. And this is super inspiring, because if I, now I'm 30 and I'm learning from them and I'm seeing like, oh, wow, this is an ongoing journey. So the issues I have today, maybe I don't have them tomorrow, or maybe they come back in 40 years. Yeah. You know, it's a journey, and that's okay. It's really okay. Yeah. And yeah, that you can only feel if you talk to people, especially, you know, of different ages or, you know, cultures and so on.
Right. It's like the allowance. Well, so that actually was one of my questions too, is you do these castings in different countries around Europe, and hopefully you're coming to the US. So that's happening in the future. Do you notice cultural differences as you go from country to country within the EU?
I mean, I have been mostly to German-speaking countries, but I've also been to the Netherlands and to Spain and to France. So, you know, what shocks me the most is it's all pretty much the same when it comes to the shame, when it comes to the taboo, when it comes to the sexualization. And I also get messages from everywhere in the world, like people from Iran, from Korea, from Brazil. They tell me the same things. I mean, what I can see is that, for example, people writing from the Middle Eastern countries, there the big topic, for example, is virginity, their whole hype about, you know, that topic. So I can see, okay, this is where we also need to educate a bit more. Or other countries, there's still this big stigma about the menstruation. We in Austria, fortunately, don't have this so much anymore, but after all, it's still the same. It's this big, it's like just to put this cover of shame and sexualization all over Europe. So unfortunately, it's pretty much the same, which also means that with the right education, we cannot just mobilize one person. We can mobilize all of the people who have a vulva, and there is so much potential. And this is also really beautiful to see. So you can see it as a problem, which it is, but you can also see it as something that can be fixed, because now we've seen what the problem is. And once you see the problem, you find the solution. Simple as that.
Yep. I love that. And I know that you came into this direction or to this project also through the side of education, like that's important to you. Speak to that a little bit, like what's the history there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think without education, without the fundament of knowledge, you cannot take good decisions. And this is something that goes into every of the topics that I've mentioned. I mean, how do you set boundaries if you don't even know how to name those body parts? I always called it vagina. I didn't even call it vulva, you know, so I can't even set boundaries because the person I was trying to set the boundaries to, they won't even understand my language. Or, you know, if you never look at yourself because you're not taught to do so or told to do so, how will you realize if you're sick, if something is wrong, you know? So this all has to do with education. Simply put, you cannot fool smart people. So, you know, the more we know, the more we can say, you know what? I don't think that's right. I don't want that. And this is why education is so important. This is where it starts.
Right. And so it's exposure. It's making it, and on some level, it gives women permission. Like when you start talking about openly naming, I mean, even just naming it the right thing, which is the vulva, right? The vagina is what classically gets used, but it's the wrong word. You know, that Absolutely. Speaks to the canal inside. That does not speak to the whole bits on the outside and the clitoris, the whole package.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention the clitoris because this is also something that I only found out 3 years ago. And I received very good education. I have a degree in biology and no one ever told me what the clitoris is. So I always thought it's like this small thing, but it's this huge organ. Can you believe it? And I studied half of my degree in Argentina and half of it in Austria. And I was thinking, how is this possible? I really had good education. And it's things like this where I'm thinking, you know, there is generations of women and people with vulvas who think they can't orgasm, they can't feel pleasure, that they don't like how they have sex. Right. But then when you ask them, well, what's the points where you are most excited, or what's, you know, like what's the clitoris? They don't know. Their partners don't know. And you're thinking, well, of course you're going to have a problem here. This is why education is important. And that's why I also love that you are teaching what you're teaching, because there is people who already have all these resources, who have that knowledge. And it's not a shame to ask, hey, I need help. I didn't know. Can I learn from you? And that's what it means to bring this big change. Just each of us helping each other out.
Yeah, I feel like it's like the blind leading the blind a little bit with this process of there's a lot of people having sex, but not really understanding what enhances it. Why is it better or worse, or sometimes, you know, more satisfaction. And so understanding your parts is basic, and then being able to communicate with your partner about it, of course, matters. So I just, yeah, I totally agree that having, starting with like looking at it in a mirror is a great place to start. I think getting a statue is the gold standard, and I want to do that. So I'm definitely signing up when you come to the US. Let's see, we'll put a link to your process. So your website is vulvarium.com. Your Instagram is vulvacasting. So that's where they can find you, and we'll link that in the bio. Where can we get in on the action in the United States? Do you have a sense of dates or places?
I am working on it. So I think it's going to happen in 2024. I'm very positive. I already looked at all the visa stuff and all these things. So I'm going to keep everyone posted on what's going on online. What's also always good is just to pop me a quick message and say, hey, I'm in this area, you know, can you come to this area? Because this is how I look out. I check where are lots of requests coming from, and that's then the city that I'm going to target. But yeah, I can't wait. I really, really want to come. And I'm going to keep you all posted. I don't have dates yet, but in early 2024 is my goal for now. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned. Hopefully you make it to the West Coast, maybe LA or San Francisco. That would be, I'm imagining there's definitely markets in those two for women that would like to participate. So I so appreciate you coming on today and joining us, and we will track your progress. And at some point I will have my own statue to show. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your, the work that you do, for, you know, talking about this topic, because this is what it takes. It takes all of us to spread a word, and everyone who just listened, you know, it's as easy as to say, you know what, I just listened to a podcast where someone is doing statues of vulvas. What do you think about it? And I tell everyone, you're going to be surprised. They might be in the first moment be like, ah, what did you just ask me? But when they see that you are honest about it, you are authentic about it, that you're not saying these things to make a joke, but you really want to go into the conversation, oh, you're going to be surprised how amazing the conversation is going to be, because we all have these body parts. We all are having sex. You know, we are living this reality all together, and we really want to talk about it. So yeah, just go out, spread the word. And thank you so much that you provide this platform and the work that you do. It's really important for all of us.
Absolutely. So if you want to read more about Victoria, you can head on over to pleasureproject.us. You can also join a future pleasure circle at pleasureproject.us and look for the small groups. So take care, and we will talk to you and see you in a future episode soon.